Also say thank you for your support and your prayers. It means so much to us. We have a really great ministry partnership team that supports us across Western Canada. And you're part of that, and we just want to really say thank you for that. Adele said, I don't have to make you remind you, but I do. You really do need one of these prayer pens. I think there's almost one for everybody, so make sure you get at least one per family on the table, and take the candy. I can't eat it all. So, you know, several things happened over the last few years that have really impacted my thinking regarding this message. But probably one thing stands out more than anything else, and that is that I celebrated my 69th birthday not too long ago. And it came way quicker than I expected. It seemed like it was only years ago I was 50. And then only months ago I was 60. And all of a sudden, well, it's 316 days from today until I turn 70. And it's coming way too fast. But it reminded me that, or maybe caused me to realize, maybe for the first time in my life, that time is going fast. I'm running out of years. I'm not going to be able to accomplish everything that I wanted to accomplish. Even my projects in Mexico, I'm not going to get them all done. Well, unless I, maybe the Lord's going to give me a lot of years yet. But whatever it is, I realized that if I had something important to say, I better say it this time when I spoke with people. In Matthew 28, see if I can get this to work, right there. I can't read that, so I got to open my Bible up. Maybe you can read it behind me. But in Matthew 28, Matthew records something very important at the very end of his book. Maybe it was something that Jesus said near the end of his time on earth. He said, I have been given authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, as we take a few moments to look into your word today, we ask that you will speak to our hearts, help us to hear the message you have for us. It could be different for each one here. Lord, make it personal in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about God's call on Moses' life. And Moses has a conversation with God. Exodus 3 and 4. We're going to get there in a few minutes. But before we get there, we need to ask, why were the children of Israel in Egypt? Well, we have to go back to Genesis 37, and we find a story about a guy by the name of Joseph. And I think I have a picture of him right there. That's what he looked like. And Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob, which meant his brothers didn't like him very much. And when the opportunity arose, they sold him as a slave to some traveling merchants, and they took him to Egypt. There he was bought by a wealthy man. And Jacob's son Joseph, the favorite, was now the slave. And as if things couldn't get worse, Joseph gets accused of a crime that he didn't commit and ends up in prison. Well, while he's in prison, God allows Joseph to interpret a couple of dreams. If you want to find out what those dreams are, you have to go and read Genesis 40, because I'm not going to take time to tell you today. But that leads to Joseph interpreting a dream for the king of Egypt. The dream, well, you know, you can read that too. But Joseph interprets it and he says, look, this is what the dream means. There's going to be a big famine coming. And the king says, well, you're the only one wise enough to tell me that, so you're in charge. Only person who isn't under you is me. That's pretty amazing when you stop and think about it. Joseph went from being in prison to being second in command of the country, all within a matter of an hour or two. That's significant. God must have been involved in that. Well, anyways, that's how they got to, oh no, that isn't how they got there. The famine came. Jacob's sons went down to buy some grain because Joseph had stored lots of it up. And when they get there, those brothers were in for a surprise. All of a sudden, it was their brother that they were bowing down in front of. They were buying grain from him, although he didn't charge them, they gave it to them. But it's an invitation from Joseph for the family to come to Egypt. So that's how they got to Egypt. But that doesn't tell us anything about Moses yet. So when we get to Moses, we find out that Joseph has died. He's forgotten. There's a bunch of people, a bunch of Hebrews. They're growing fast. They have a new king. He doesn't know anything about Joseph. And he's afraid of this bunch of people. What if they revolt? He decides, I know what I'll do. I'll have all of the Hebrew baby boys killed. And it's at that time when Moses is born. And Moses' mother, she hid him in the house for a little while, but when he's a few months old, all of a sudden you can't keep him quiet. She puts him in a little basket, puts it on the Nile River, and it gets caught in the edge of the river, and the princess, the king's daughter, finds this little Hebrew boy, and she just, wow, he is so sweet, and she adopts him. And Moses is brought up as an Egyptian. Well, by the time we get to Exodus 3, we're like 75 or 80 years later. Now, if you are over 80, this message doesn't apply to you because Moses was 80, and I think that's God's limit on age. I'm being facetious. But here he is at 80 years old, and he's out in the desert. He's feeding sheep, herding sheep, whatever you do with sheep. That's what he's doing. And all of a sudden, there's a bush that's on fire. And the crazy thing, it doesn't burn up. It just keeps burning and burning and burning. Finally, Moses can't take it anymore. He said, "What? I got to go check this out." He goes over, and when he gets close to the bush, God calls to him. And in Exodus 3, verse 4, it says, when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses, here I am, Moses replied. You know, that sounds like the proper response when God calls our name. Here I am. And then we keep reading verses 5 and 6. It says, do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals. You are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And when Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. That, to me, is the proper response when God's talking to us, when we're in God's presence. So then God says, Moses, this is the issue. All the Hebrews in Egypt, they're being oppressed. They're being mistreated. They're being abused. And they need a deliverer. And then we read in verse 10. God says to Moses, Now go. For I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people out of Egypt. And Moses protested. My Bible says, but Moses protested to God. He just given the right response. All of a sudden, Moses protested. Well, Moses was feeling pretty inadequate. It was overwhelming. But what do we know about Moses? We know that he was raised as an Egyptian in Pharaoh's palace. That meant he was educated like the Egyptian royalty. That meant that he could read and write both Egyptian scripts. Not only those funny pictures, but they also had script. He could read and write both of those. He likely knew two, maybe three other languages besides that. Moses was much more prepared than he thought he was. It's in Acts where we find that he was educated in all the ways of the Egyptians. But Moses asked the question, who am I? God's response is, that doesn't matter. It's, who am I? I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will be with you. My Bible goes on to say, and Moses protested. What if I go to the people and they say, well, what's the name of your God? Now, in those days, there were a multitude of gods, and they all had a name. And so it wasn't uncommon that they would ask, what's the name of your God? Some were powerful, some were not. But God reveals his name. He says, I am who I am. I am the eternal God. I am the God of your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then in verse 16, he says, now go. And call together all the elders of Israel and tell them, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me. Now go. My Bible goes on to say, but Moses protested again. What if they don't believe me? And so God says, well, what's that you have in your hand? He said, well, it's a staff. He said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and you all know what happened. It became a snake. He said, pick it up by the tail, and it was a staff again. And he says, if they don't believe that miracle, put your hand inside your coat, and when you pull it out, it'll be covered with a disease. You put it back in your coat, and you pull it out, and it's good again, totally healthy. And he said, and if they don't believe those two miracles, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the ground and it'll turn to blood right in front of them. That should have convinced Moses. Let's go on to read. What's it say next? It says, chapter 4, verse 10. But Moses pleaded with the Lord. I don't talk very well. And what's God's response? In verse 11, he says, then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak? Hear or do not hear, see or do not see. Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. Four excuses. And God says, now go. Verse 13, it says, but Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send someone else. I have three brothers in my family. One of them was in Bible college at the same time Adele and I were in college. And he was in a different year of studies, and they were studying the book of Isaiah. And you know that in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah says, here am I, send me. And my brother read that, and he said, here am I, send my brother. And God did that. I'm not sure if that was because of the way he read that or not, but I think what my brother was doing, he was pulling off a Moses. He was making an excuse so he didn't have to go. So Moses had lots of excuses why he couldn't lead the children of Israel. But God didn't give up on Moses. Instead, he reminded him, and let's just do a quick review. He said, you know, I am the living personal God, and I will go with you. I am the eternal God. I am who I am. He said, I am the powerful, and I am powerful God, and I have authority over all creation. Oh, excuses. I've had my share. Too many. As a child growing up, I had two favorite seasons. One was winter. I don't like winter anymore. But as a child, there were two favorite seasons. There was winter. It could have lasted, well, 11 months and 2 weeks would have been perfect. But there had to be 1 week of summer when you got to go to Bible camp, because I love Bible camp. And picture of Valley View Bible Camp. That was the camp I went to for the first 30 years of my life, every summer, never missed. In fact, my mom was the cook at the camp, so when I was months old, however many it was, five or six, spent my first summer at Bible camp. I loved Bible camp. I think that's why I'm so passionate about the project I'm working on down in Mexico, the Hacienda, because I see the potential that it can be used as a summer camp. And that just excites me to no end. Well, as I was thinking about that, about camp, memories started to flow through my mind, and I was reminded that it was at camp when I was about 14, 15 years old that I stood at the invitation of a missionary. He was a missionary from Africa, and he had a big table, all kinds of neat stuff from Africa. The only thing that I remember, he had a snake skin that stretched all the way across the table. And when he asked us if we would stand and be missionaries, I stood and said, inside, but please don't send me to Africa where they have those big snakes. Well, you know, it was about 5 years later, I was at that same camp. And a good friend of mine, a missionary, had been the speaker for the week. And as he drove away from camp, I stood and watched him leave. And if you look at the bottom right-hand corner of this piece of property, that's looking at the old tabernacle, the one that I stood in. But if you stand right sort of the bottom right, maybe up, you know, 20 feet or so, I stood in that spot, and I watched my friend drive away. And you can watch, goes up a big hill. And I stood there for minutes. Camp was over. There was very few people around. And I stood in that spot. And I don't know what happened, but it was like it was holy ground. It was like God saying, I've got something bigger for you. Well, it would be another 6 or 7 years later, 1984, Adele and I would be at that same camp, and we would respond to a message, Help Wanted. And we were sitting sort of where Adele is right now, in the second row from the front, so when they asked for us to come forward, it was pretty, it wasn't very far, so it was easy to do. Some friends came up and prayed for us. And I didn't know it at the time, but I think it was our response to, well, here we are. Send us. And we were excited to see what God was doing in our lives, and we went to Bible college, and 3 years later, we were invited to go and be missionaries in Greece. And all of a sudden, well, we couldn't do that. Our boys were the wrong age. They had to finish school. I could hardly speak English. How would I learn to speak Greek? I needed more education. I needed to be better equipped. Well, all of those things have an element of truth. But I had all kinds of excuses that I didn't share with anybody because, well, they weren't very spiritual. I was afraid of the unknown. What would it cost me? What would it cost us? What would our families think? What would our friends say? What could we live on? Could we trust God to look after us? You know, in our first year of Bible college, we had an assignment. We had to give a testimony. So I wrote out my testimony on two beautiful yellow sheets, the line sheets, and wrote it all out. It's before the days of computers. Well, not quite, but just about. But I had handwritten it. And fortunately, at this college, they had a podium. It was massive. It was about the size of this table, only it was much higher. In fact, it was so high that when Adele stood behind it, you'd see this much of Adele. I was tall enough that I could stand and hold stuff, and I was standing, and all of a sudden the anxiety and the fear came over me so strong that I shook so hard, the class could hear the papers rattling. They couldn't see my knees knocking, but they could hear the papers rattling. I put the papers down on the thing. I held on to the edge, and I read through the rest of my testimony. You know, I don't remember anything else other than that. Of that day, but it was a step in my journey with God. I was learning that it wasn't about me, rather it was about who my God is. The God who said, I will be with you. It was a lesson that Moses needed to learn, and I needed to learn it. You know, my challenge for us today is, don't let excuses keep you from experiencing God's call in your life. Don't miss out on the blessings God has in store for you. I made a list of just a few of the blessings that I would have missed out on. I would have missed out on being a pastor for a number of years. And I would have missed out on praying for a baby boy. He's the biggest baby I've ever seen. He was almost 12 pounds, and he was blue. I can't remember what shade of blue, but he was blue. He had a problem with his heart. It was so severe that the doctor said he had 24 hours to live. We prayed for that baby, that God would heal him. And he didn't die within 24 hours, so we went back and we prayed the next day, and we prayed the next day. He's now 30 years old. His heart is a totally, completely normal heart. It's documented at the U of A and at another hospital in Florida. And he now lives in Washington. I would have missed that. I would have missed speaking at this church. This is a picture of Coronation's church before it was burnt. We get to go see their new church. They just started using it. I spoke at some funerals. Over 500 people packed into that. Most of them community people. I got to share the message of hope that we have in Jesus. I got to sit with a man who had gone to evangelical churches all his life. And he's over 50 years old and he does not understand the gospel message and his need for personal salvation. I got to pray with him. A few years later, he would pass away and we would go back and visit his wife. And he said that was the most significant thing that happened in his life. We got to be a part of that. Some other things we would have missed. Would have missed getting to know these people. These are our fellow students learning Spanish down in Texas. And I would have missed this. Wouldn't have gotten to South Padre Island to ride my bike on the beach. Didn't know that was possible. Any sand I saw, you could always sink into it. Those are blessings that God had in store for us. Would have missed going to Hermosillo. Would have missed being part of a church that's about impacting the city for Jesus. Would have missed delivering food hampers to this location and sharing the love of Jesus with a family that's desperate. Desperate. Would have missed making all my new friends in Mexico and eating the Mexican food. Would have missed it. And I would have missed having the opportunity to be involved in seeing the hacienda developed, a place that God's going to use for years and years. I would have missed all that. And I would have missed traveling around to churches like this and visiting old friends and making new friends. And I would have missed the opportunity to share this message that God is still calling people to go and make disciples. If we hadn't listened, we would have missed so many blessings. So today I'm wondering, have you heard the call, heard God calling you? If you have, please respond with, "Here I am, send me." Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're so grateful for your reminder of who you are, the eternal, almighty, personal, loving, and living God. And you've promised to go with us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, please use these words today to challenge each of our hearts. Help us to be people, be men and women, boys and girls, who desire and are willing to respond, "Here am I, send me," whether it's around the world, or even here in Lacombe. Thank you for that. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.